Saudi women take to the streets in their cars.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In Saudi Arabia, women are not allowed to drive. If they have jobs, they often use the nation's limited public transit system or pay for expensive taxis to get to work. Well, today, a social media campaign has sparked a nationwide protest of driving restrictions. Women are driving, and some men are reportedly dressing up as women to confuse the authorities. Dr. Fawzia Al-Bakr is a professor at King Saud University, and she's with us now from Riyadh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell us what's going on there today across Saudi Arabia.
It's an interesting day today because women around Saudi Arabia are trying to organize, you know, a movement to go out and drive. I'll drive my car. That's the slogan of this day.
Tell us about the role that social media has played in this movement today.
It's huge, definitely, and especially that Saudi Arabia provides a lot of communications, the infrastructure for communication. And about 95% of the people have mobile phones which connected to the internet. The Saudis spend about 132 minutes every single day using the internet, more than what they watch TV or listen to the radio.
Do you think any major changes will come of this protest?
I don't know. We've been saying this for the last 20 years, and every time we said, okay, it's coming, but it's not coming. There is definitely nothing in religion, Islamic religion, prevent women from driving. But then maybe some people find it socially unacceptable, and that's fine. We're talking here about freedom of choice. Nobody will be forced to drive. But if I want to drive, I should have the right to drive if I want to.
Dr. Fawzia Al-Bakr is a professor of education at King Saud University in Riyadh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, here in this country, Wells Fargo is getting out of the reverse mortgage business. A reverse mortgage allows senior citizens to turn the value of their homes into a stream of monthly income. But Wells Fargo, which is the nation's biggest reverse mortgage lender, says they've become too risky. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
Reverse mortgages gained popularity during the housing boom. If you're at least 62, you could get a loan based on the value of your house. And instead of you sending a monthly mortgage check to the bank, they send one to you. When you die, or if you don't keep up with property tax or home insurance payments, the house is sold to pay off the loan. Nicholas Retsinas is director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard.
This is a great product in a time of rising home prices because your collateral every day gets stronger and stronger. In the environment we're in now, there is a danger that the value could go down.
Wells Fargo says it became too difficult to predict the risk of seniors losing their home prematurely. Bank of America got out of the reverse mortgage game earlier this year. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, down in Asia, but they've turned higher in Europe after the Prime Minister of Greece fired his finance minister and appointed a political rival. This is in a bid to get the support he needs to pass big budget cuts and avoid a debt default. It was a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday, but the Dow finished 64 points higher at 11,961.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Another comic book goes Hollywood today as Green Lantern launches in theaters nationwide and in 15 markets overseas. It'll be in 3D in most places, but the whole 3D thing doesn't really impress our next guest. His name is Peter Bart, and he's the author of a new book called Infamous Players. It's about his time as a Hollywood executive decades ago. Peter Bart, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your new book, you talk about your time as executive at Paramount Pictures in the 60s and 70s. When you walk around Hollywood now, is there anything that's still run the same way as it was back then?
Absolutely nothing is run the same way. The whole business plan is different. One reason I wrote the book was to remind people that you expected an experience. You expected movies that would change the way you think about movies, you know? And today, basically, when kids go to movies, they expect to see movies they've seen before. Another Hangover, another Kung Fu Panda. So it's a repetitive experience rather than a questing one.
It's not just a good old days argument that people make that things were always better before?
No, I don't think things were always better before. You know, technologically, movies are extraordinarily superior today than they were then. But today, you blast an audience with a $150 million ad campaign worldwide, and you basically tell people what to see. And more of the emphasis of Hollywood is on that foreign audience. 65% of the audience is foreign, and that's what motivates what people decide to make.
How much did you care about foreign audiences back when you were at Paramount?
Zero. It was never even thought of. Interesting phenomenon, though, is the 3D pictures. The case of some of the 3D movies, more than half of the audience is opting to see the 2D version. So I think you're going to see more and more 3D, but I think they'll be done more skillfully. I think, frankly, the first couple of years of 3D is an exercise in schlockdom.
Was there anything like 3D that you could have seen as a fad or the next big thing back when you were at Paramount?
Yeah, there were always gimmicks being tried, you know, seats that shook and aromas that were put out into the audience. But nonetheless, the emphasis was try to make movies that were engrossing. Those of us who were involved in running studios actually asked ourselves, do I want to see this movie? And that would be a good motivation for causing it to be made. That ain't true today.
Peter Bart, author of Infamous Players and editorial director of Variety, thanks so much for coming in.
You bet.
And finally, yet another reminder that the computer is not always right. In Bellevue, Washington, a driver followed the directions of the rental car GPS device right down a boat launch and into a lake. She got out okay and told police she was waiting for the GPS to recalculate the route when the accident happened. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's not just professionals at the U.S. Open hitting the links this weekend. Can the president and the speaker enjoy a round of bipartisanship?
Somewhere between number one and number 18, you find time to bring up what you need to bring up, and it works.
Or not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Congressional Golf Caucus, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.